Canton's Morning News with Pam Cook continues now.
Doctor, doctor, I'm screaming out.
All right, it is time for our weekly doctor visit with Dr. Stan Anderson. He is on our WHBC Newsline this morning. Good morning, Dr. Stan.
Hey, Pam. Great to talk to you.
So we're going to do a mishmash. Is that right?
Yeah.
I always like that word, mishmash. That means a lot of stuff.
Yeah, just different stuff.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, so let's start out because we know that you are the king of studies. You always fill us in on the latest. And so you have a bunch of them that we're going to refer to this morning. And let's start off, first of all, talking about mental stress and heart disease. Is there a connection?
Now, this just came out in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, in their latest article. And it was the association of mental stress, which leads to heart attacks in people with pre-existing heart disease. What they found was that the more stress that a person has, the more likely it is they're going to have a second heart attack. So if you've ever heard the term, he died of a broken heart, or you're going to stress your heart if you can't stop worrying, those are really true according to the study. So the bottom line is if you have any kind of heart problem, it is vital for you to deal with your stress. See a counselor, talk to your primary care provider, try to get on medicine, so try to control your stress. Do whatever you need to do in order to try to take care of it, because anxiety kills.
And that kind of makes sense because it would affect your blood pressure and all those things that maybe you stress eat and that could lead to it, right? A lot of different things like that.
And so in this study, it was more just the whole thing of the more stress you have, the more adrenaline you make, and the more adrenaline you make, the more likely it is that you're going to end up having a bad outcome. So it wasn't just behaviors, but it was also the chemical milieu of what was going on inside of the person. So yes, stress is dangerous.
All right. So while we're talking about stress, let's talk about music and the power to bust stress. And that's big for me. I love to do that.
Yeah. Now, this just came out in Psychology and Psychiatry, and it just was published just last week. And they were looking at ways that people can deal with their stress by doing something with music. So what they found was that there was no one size fits all. You need to know your patterns. There are some people that when they get stressed out and they feel their muscles tense, they can feel their heart starting to beat a little bit faster, that if they listen to Baroque music or Beethoven or Brahms or Bach or the classicals, that's what makes a difference. For some people, it's simply listening to some pop music that they have a good feeling with, but listening for a period of time. So one of the other things that they recommended was find what works for you and listen for about 5 to 10 minutes. You don't have to listen to an hour's worth of music, but finding what works for you for a short period of time. And the favorite songs may not be the best songs to help you. So sometimes the favorite songs make you more jazzed up. So for instance, many people, when they're exercising, they listen to workout music, and that might not be good for stress. For some people, it's getting back to what they used to do. So if you used to play the guitar, if you used to play the piano or something, sometimes picking that back up and spending some time at the instrument that you used to do, that makes a big difference. And then finally, sing. So even though many of us don't have very good musical voices, singing is really a great stress reducer. And so if you sing in the shower, if you sing in your car, if you sing just for the enjoyment of it, that really helps.
It does. And you look over at the next car and somebody else is doing the same thing, right? Oh, my goodness. That's always fun. I do that a lot. So what about this story about cancers being more likely to spread if you eat palm oil? I don't even know where palm oil is found or where that comes from.
Well, palm oil is actually one of the most common types of oils that's a cooking oil that's used around the world. We don't use it so much here in the United States, but if you do travel, be careful about palm oil if you have cancer. So this is a study that was published in Nature, and what they did was they found that in rats that have a very similar chemical milieu as humans do, that when they ate palm oil, which is palmitic oil, it promotes metastasis of oral cancers and skin melanomas. So not if you're taking what's called oleic acid or linoleic acid, the omega-6s, the omega-9s, which is what's found in olive oil and flax seeds, they don't have any problems. So it simply means that if you have any kind of cancer, specifically melanoma, or if you have skin cancer, you really want to be careful. Use olive oil, not palm oil.
All right. And quickly, our final one is allergies. No reason to avoid the COVID vaccine, right?
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. A lot of people have said they don't want to get the shot because they've had allergic reactions before. What they now did was they found the number of people that have had anaphylactic reactions, that's the really dangerous one, total 100 million people, 25. So it's incredibly low. So the number of people that have had reactions is somewhere around 5% of other vaccines. So having a reaction to one does not increase your risk for having a horrible reaction to the COVID vaccine.
All right. Lots of good stuff there. I like the mishmash, Dr. Stan.
I'll do my best next week.
All right. Talk to you next Wednesday. Thank you, sir.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
What's next? Keep listening to find out, because the news never stops.
Get the facts.
And neither do we.
1480 WHBC and WHBC.com.